Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm very excited about this half hour because we have a legendary CEO on the show right now, folks, John Chambers. You know him as the CEO of Cisco, and for 25 years, at least that long, he was with that company, CEO and then chairman. And the stories he's going to tell us, I'm really looking forward to hearing about this. He's now retired from that job, and he's written a book that I'm encouraging you to check out. It's called Connecting the Dots, Lessons for Leadership in a Startup World. And, folks, he gets it. When it comes to small business, he gets it, and we're glad to have him on the show. John Chambers, welcome to the show.
Jim, it's going to be a pleasure today as one person from West Virginia to one from Alabama. We'll have a good exchange.
I'm glad you're here, John. I want to ask you a couple of questions about history before we get into your book.
Sure.
Back when you joined Cisco in the early 90s, having been with IBM and Wang earlier than before that, you had some background in what was going on with telecom, with the connectivity with modems, and the internet was a burgeoning entity in those days, not quite commercial. Did you see Cisco as being able to be in the forefront of that whole change in the marketplace?
Jim, actually I did, and I don't want to mislead any of your audience. I did because I'd seen what you call market transitions before. I grew up in West Virginia, and we were the chemical center of the world, 6,000 engineers, Carbide, DuPont, Monsanto, et cetera, and the coal industry. And we missed our transitions and we fell behind. I was then in Boston 128 with mini computers, and I saw what happened when mini computers moved to the PC into the internet, and candidly, Silicon Valley broke away. So all my life, my dad and mom helped me identify transitions. When I saw the internet, it was logical. I'd been with IBM where they make those real big mainframes, and then saw them fall from grace, and Wang and Data General and Digital Equipment, mini computers, and then they didn't make the transition, and then PCs, HP, Dell, et cetera. Then I saw the opportunity for the internet, and off the bat, I took a risk. So only 400 people at Cisco and 70 million in sales, and I felt it would change the world. We said that publicly, and we were fortunate to grow it almost to $50 billion and 75,000 people, but also in the right spot at the right time. I made just about every mistake you can make, Jim, along the way. And
well, I was going to ask you, one of the things that I like what you just said was that almost everything that you learned was from watching somebody else not do what you knew you needed to do. You learned from their mistakes. And I remind people that my mentors oftentimes didn't even know they were being my mentors because I was watching them make mistakes and I was learning from that. That's what you did, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But, you know, interestingly enough, very often the mentors, and I would ask everybody for advice, and sometimes it could be as simple as a restaurant owner or multiple presidents of the United States or leaders around the world in France and Israel and India, et cetera. And by asking for advice and then doing what you just did, tell me what made you successful, and individuals would say this is what they did that they really learned from, and then I'd ask them about their mistakes. Leaders who are honest and self-aware know that they're as much a product of their mistakes as they are their successes. And they're constantly looking to learn from others so they don't make the mistakes themselves.
What would someone be writing a book about one day where they said, I watched John Chambers make this mistake? What might that be? What would be an example?
I've made a lot of them. And by the way, I intend to make a lot more in my next chapter where I'm invested in 16 startups and coaching startups in India and startups in France. But probably the biggest one was I didn't see the dot-com bubble in 2001. And for your business listeners, I became so dependent upon my data And, Jim, we would not miss our forecast year over year by one percentage point when we were growing at 60 to 80% per year. So our data was very accurate in terms of what do we do the same day a year ago, the same week, the same quarter, and we could see the trends coming. But I became too dependent upon the data. And first week in December 2000, we grew at 70%. Now, for those business owners, fasten your seatbelt. By the mid-January, we were shrinking at minus 30. I'd never seen growth below 40%.
Wow.
We were at minus 30. 25% of my customers disappeared within a quarter, disappeared forever, and we were in free fall.
I remember those days. That was a tough time for you and your company, wasn't it?
It was, but, you know, it's interesting. Jack Welch, that many people might remember as really the business icon in the 70s and 80s, he told me I had a good company even as we became the most valuable company in the world. I said, Jack, what does it take to have a great company? And he said, a near-death experience. And I didn't exactly get it.
Hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break. Right back with legendary CEO John Chambers. Quick breaks.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.